Get fit. Need help? You're in the loop.
Hi everyone, this is Laura for Fashionability, and I'm here with Fit Loop fitness guru, Marana Weber. And today we're going to talk about a subject as a bit of a follow-up to the interview I did of her some time ago, which I hope you heard. During that interview, we discussed a range of topics, including fitness and nutrition. And Marana mentioned something during that interview that I thought might make a good follow-up subject. She made reference to a term that you may have heard about before that I sort of wanted to explore further with her. And the term she used was clean eating. And I've heard the term clean eating or eat clean quite a bit. I've read a number of articles where that was discussed, and I wanted to know some more about it. So I thought I would interview Marana and ask her thoughts on clean eating, maybe define it for us and give us some examples. So welcome back to Fashionability, Marana.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So what does the term clean eating actually mean?
Clean eating is a lifestyle. It's a food choice that eliminates all processed foods from your diet. So what happens is when you go to the grocery store and you see the packages of pasta or bread or cookies, a lot of times what they've done is they've taken those from their simple form and they've stripped all of the nutritional value out of them, and they've put them back together and they've packaged them up in a brightly colored package, and then they've sold them to you. So basically you're eating a lot of empty calories that have no nutritional value. So clean eating is sticking to things that are basically closest to their raw form. So vegetables that haven't been stripped of their nutritional value by being cooked down to nothing and then put in a can, or pastas or breads that have more nutrient rich or dense ingredients. So it's they're not just empty calories that you're consuming. You're wanting to stick to more of your fresh fruits and vegetables and your whole grains and lean proteins and such.
Well, I've already learned something, because that means that clean eating does not mean nibbling on sponges and drinking Windex.
It does not. We are not washing our systems clean with ammonia.
Good to know. Okay, so clean eating, it's interesting you characterize it as a lifestyle. So I'm a vegetarian. Is clean eating the same thing as vegetarianism? Is it a subset of? Is it different than? What's the difference between clean eating and being a vegetarian?
A vegetarian can be a clean eater. As a vegetarian, you could have what I would call a dirty diet.
I could live off Kraft macaroni and cheese,
you
right?
You could, yes, absolutely.
But that's not clean eating.
That's not clean eating.
Okay.
Because there's no real nutritional value. So you're looking for foods that are in their rawest form. So whether that is, you know, your lean meats and proteins, and even with those, you're wanting to stay away from your highly processed meats.
So you can still eat meat and eat clean?
You can,
okay.
Yes. Yes.
So what kinds of meats are examples of clean versus non-clean? And you're not talking about unclean, like as in kosher eating?
No.
That kind of clean. Okay.
No.
So talk about meat and how does that work in a eating clean lifestyle?
I'm talking about your proteins. You're going to want to be your lean proteins, like boneless, skinless chicken breasts.
Oh, okay.
Instead of your chicken nuggets that you can buy, frozen chicken nuggets.
Uh-huh.
Instead of the lunch meats that you find that are highly processed, you're wanting to stay away from anything that has been highly processed and has basically been taken apart, stripped of its nutritional value, and then put back together.
Like that shelf-stable stuff.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
Not clean eating.
That is not clean eating.
Because of what they've had to do in order to make meat shelf-stable. That's
right.
Added chemicals and other kinds of additives to the food that makes it not an example of eating clean.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of your mystery meats that you get into, I like to call them, which are your frozen chicken nuggets that you take home and they're pre-cooked and you put them in the oven and you bake them and they may taste okay. They're really not parts of the chicken that hold any sort of nutritional value. You mm-hmm. know, it's eating the leftovers, basically.
We're not entirely sure what consume. Part of the chicken
exactly.
it comes from anyway.
Exactly, yes. That is not clean eating.
I've never seen a chicken with nuggety looking parts.
Yeah, so really you're wanting to stick to your lean proteins like chicken and fish. A lot of people who follow a clean diet are going to eat some beef and such. They will advocate sticking to your grass-fed beef. So it gets a little tricky, you know, living on a limited income and then trying to buy your more expensive meats, you know.
So grass-fed beef, as a rule, is more expensive than...
It is more expensive, okay. Yes. So if you're going to do something like grass-fed beef, I would maybe stick more to like your hamburger because that's going to be a little bit less expensive, mm-hmm. you know, and you can buy it in higher quantities. And so, you know, it's just about spending your money wisely, but getting the most bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. And the most bang for your buck, in my opinion, is buying your foods that are more nutritionally dense.
So fresh caught fish as opposed to fish sticks.
Absolutely.
Potatoes yes. that actually look like a potato versus tater tots.
Tater tots or the mashed potatoes that you buy in a box that are basically sodium and
the one supermarket aisle that I can think of that's all boxes all the time is the cereal aisle.
Yes.
Can you give an example of a breakfast food that's better as a clean alternative to the processed alternative?
I would definitely stick with your oatmeal, but you're going to want to stay away from the packaged oatmeal that has a bunch of added, you know, maple and sugar and cinnamon and stuff. Those are all, you know, really broken down and just have a bunch of junk that's unnecessary added to it. And they just increase the calorie content.
So do you like those steel-cut oats that you can get?
Steel-cut oats are really good. I don't personally buy the steel-cut oats, but they are a great source of fiber and such, and those are a good thing.
So just plain oatmeal, and it's better to add your own ingredients
Absolutely.
To make flavored oatmeal?
Exactly, yeah.
So like cut up a little apple to make an apple compote or berries, or just add your own brown sugar?
Brown sugar, I would even, you know, stay away from your sugars and stuff, but, or, you know, you could add honey.
And that's a sweetener,
right? Yeah. So, okay. You know, myself being diabetic, I don't add a lot of the sweet stuff, so mm-hmm. I stay away from that. But if you're, you know, you need that little bit of sweet in the morning, mm-hmm. I would stick to your more basic, less processed things like table sugar.
So then for clean eating, the goal is really to eat that which resembles the food as it emerged from the earth, as opposed to being pulled or poured out of a box or a container.
Exactly.
If yes. it still looks like a potato, that's clean eating. If it looks like a nugget, that isn't clean eating.
That is not clean eating, no. Well, so many of those have just so many added chemicals and added fats and stuff that are just really unnecessary. And they may make it taste a little bit better, but who wants to just be filling their body with junk?
It's amazing to me the amount of food that's marketed as healthful until you take the time to read the ingredient deck. So an example of this, as a vegetarian, I sometimes seek out meat alternatives. So I'll look at a box of breakfast sausage or faux bacon or something like that to eat as an alternative. And it is stupefying the number of ingredients that have names that are unpronounceable, multi-syllabic words and phrases of chemical additives and processes and dyes and colorants and stabilizers and all of these different ingredients. And this is marketed as a health product?
Right. Right. Yeah, your more basic forms of stuff, like peanut butter, for example.
Oh, let's talk about that. Yeah.
If you go and buy a jar of Jif peanut butter on the ingredients list, peanuts are not usually the first ingredient, or at least sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. They have added sugar, high fructose corn syrup, you know, all these different things that are really unnecessary. And if you get an all-natural peanut butter, there's going to be one, maybe two ingredients, and those ingredients are going to be peanuts and maybe sea salt. Mm. So it's really, you are getting the food that you're getting real peanuts. Mm-hmm. It's not some, you know, peanut mystery mix that mm-hmm. has a bunch of added sugar and stuff that's just really unnecessary and just adds a lot to the calorie content and mm-hmm. and decreases the nutritional value.
So fruits and vegetables, meats and other proteins that look the way they were either born or grown.
Exactly.
Are the keys to clean eating.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that answers that question. Is there anything else you'd like to add on the subject of clean eating?
You know, it's just putting thought into what you're cooking and putting some time and effort. And a lot of people enjoy the TV dinners and such that are, you know, obviously not clean diets because they're simple. But there's ways that you can follow a clean diet and such and keep it simple and make it just as easy. And first of all, it's going to be a lot less expensive. You know, those prepackaged meals and stuff are they add up really quick. Mm-hmm. And so keeping it simple and thinking ahead and preparing your food, it's really not that complicated. It just takes a little bit of thought and a little bit of effort. And I think that overall, once you start making those changes and investing the time into doing such a thing, you're going to be happy with the results.
You know, I'm reminded, speaking of things into which to place a bit of thought, I just read an article about a move away from margarine and back to butter, because for years the food marketers touted margarine as, you know, the answer to the fattening bad butter, and they demonized it to the point where, you know, people used margarine as a butter substitute because somehow butter was made out to be this terrible thing to consume because it was fattening and whatever. But now with the awareness of trans fats and chemicals and carcinogens that are present in trans fats and oils and the bad fats and that sort of thing, that the industry, and thanks to consumers really, consumers have rejected margarine as a butter substitute and have gone back to butter with the realization that butter actually came out of a cow.
Exactly.
It's a thing. It's a natural product as opposed to something that was made from a machine and a process.
Well, our bodies recognize butter. They recognize what it is. It's a substance that they know it, your body, I mean, it shouldn't be consumed in vast quantities, mm-hmm. but at least your body knows what to do with it. Mm-hmm. When you start consuming things like margarine that are basically just chemical whatever, mm-hmm. your body has no clue what to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't recognize it, and therefore it's not good for you. I read an article similar that said that if you put a tub of margarine in the garage and watch it, no flies will land on it because margarine is actually one molecule away from being plastic.
Delish.
You know, I had those toy kitchens when I was a kid, but never did I try to consume them. So it's really, you think about it in that context and it's just like, wow, do I really want to be consuming plastic? Mm-hmm. You know? So sticking to things in their most natural form is best because that is what our body best recognizes.
And has the highest nutritional density.
Exactly. Yes. Perfect. You're getting your most nutrients, and we can get into the importance of that in a later episode.
Yeah, love it. Okay, everybody, this has been Laura for Fashionability with Miranda Weber. You're in the loop. Mm-hmm.